I want to think about God's great promises to you. Just imagine stumbling over a treasure chest buried in the ground. You open it and it's full of gold coins, millions and millions of pounds worth. And in many ways, the Bible is like that treasure chest, but instead of gold coins, it's full of something infinitely better, the promises of the living God. But sadly, sometimes as believers, we don't know all of God's promises, or we don't claim all of God's promises. But God wants us to open this treasure and to see all the riches he has stored for us. He wants us to see what he has planned for us. And as we come to our living God, to trust him and to be transformed by his promises. The Apostle Paul, when he was facing a very difficult time in his life in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, says that he despaired of life itself. But then he goes on to say, all the promises are yes in Christ. And last week, we looked at Philippians chapter 13, a tremendous promise. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Today, we're going to look at another best love verse in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches. And as Kate just earlier given the notices about different situations, different needs, but we come to a living God who is full of grace and power. And whatever we are facing, like Paul, we can know God's peace within our hearts when things are hard and challenging. We can meet a God who is concerned about us, who actually meets our personal needs. A God who has supplied, who will supply his grace into various situations. And to understand the context, really, of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, we need to look at one or two verses. And firstly, I want to think about the amazing generosity of God's people. And we see this in verses 15 to 16. And it says this, if you're following in your Bible. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in my early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. As we've been looking at the letter to the Philippians, I think one thing that stands out more than anything else, Paul's response, it is a letter of joy. And Paul's relationship with the church at Philippi, back in chapter 1 and verse 6, we looked at the thing about that partnership in the gospel, that relationship that Paul had. And the church at Philippi, it's really a story about a church that cared. And that's chapter 16, when Paul first visited some 10 years earlier. He had planted a church amidst enormous spiritual opposition. He and Silas ended up being beaten, arrested, and thrown in prison, placed in chains. And God intervened, and they were miraculously delivered by an earthquake. And the next day, they were escorted out of town by the authorities. These new Christians never forgot what it cost Paul and Silas to bring the gospel to the city. People like the Philippian jailer and his family, Lydia, and that slave girl that was delivered from a demon. And when Paul traveled on to Thessalonica, later to Berea, Athens, and Corinth, this church sent him gifts time and time again. And Paul looked upon the giving as an investment that would pay rich spiritual dividends. Giving and receiving refers to a double transaction. In the first transaction, gifts move from the Philippians to Paul. In the second transaction, the blessings that were given back to the giver. We have a God that just wants to pour his grace and his blessing into our lives. Secondly, I want to pick up the unconditional worship of God. Verse 18, if you follow in your Bible, it says this: I receive full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Know that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Here, Paul does not only see this gift as simply coming from the church at Philippi. He also sees it as the supply of his need from heaven itself. Never forget what Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And Paul was in a difficult situation in prison, but Paul came, whatever he faced, to trust the living Lord and to know his provision. Here, Paul does not specify what gifts they sent from Philippi. He simply describes them as a fragrant offering to God. And there are two types of sacrifices in the Old Testament: a sacrifice for sin and a sacrifice for worship. And here in verse 18, the emphasis is on the sacrifice for worship, where God accepts what we offer in praise and thanksgiving and worship and adoration. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, Paul speaks about this fragrant offering is also used when Christ offered up himself upon the cross for us, to redeem us, to rescue us, and to save us. And our response is, we worship when we give to the work of the Lord. And that is why it is that fragrant offering. And the Philippians gave with money, and it was a costly sacrifice. They would have been among the churches that Paul commended for contributing to help the believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and verses 1 and 2. It says this: and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace of God that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy, their extreme poverty, welled up in rich generosity. Their giving was voluntary and generous. They gave because they wanted to give, because they had experienced the grace of God. The grace of God opened hearts and hands. Think from those verses what actually speaks to us. The fact of joy and giving out of difficulty and extreme poverty. See, the fact is, God sees the heart gift and not just the hand gift. If the heart wanted to give more but was unable to do so, God sees it and records it accordingly. But if the hand gives more than the heart wants to give, God records what is in the heart, no matter how big the offering in the hand might be. When one sees possessions as belonging to the living God and is willing to part with them so that the gospel of God can advance, he or she has surrendered their life to God, and God is well pleased. To part with money is a costly sacrifice, but when we do so for the sake of the gospel, it is an acceptable one that is pleasing to God. Thirdly and finally, the unchanging promise of God, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And I want you to notice the phrase, and my God. This is an unusual expression. Paul could have easily said, and God will meet all your needs. But when he says, my God, he is making it personal. He is affirming that his God is the Lord of all history, who has worked his purposes in the past, who is concerned with the present and with the future. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is my God. The God who raised Moses up is my God. The God who led Joshua around the walls of Jericho is my God. The God who enabled David to defeat Goliath is my God. The God of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and all the prophets is my God. The God of the virgin birth is my God. The God who raised Jesus from the dead is my God. The God of the apostles is my God. Paul here wants us to remember the same God who worked all the mighty miracles in the Bible is the same God who makes this amazing promise. My friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever you are experiencing, whatever you are facing, we serve an awesome and a living and an all-powerful God who can do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine. And when we face a crisis of faith and have a need in our lives, we need to learn more than anything else that our God is a faithful God. He is the reliable God. He is a trustworthy God. And Paul knew personally that God was his God. He had seen God meet his needs over and over and over again. And thus he was able to encourage the Philippians that God will meet their needs, especially as they stood for their faith in Christ, as they faced persecution and difficulty. And in this verse 19, it contains a wonderful promise, and my God will supply all your needs. And I want you to notice the most important word in this verse. It's a little word, all. And whatever you truly need, God has promised to supply. Do you need forgiveness? He will abundantly pardon. Do you need more grace? His grace is sufficient for you. Do you need hope? He is the God of hope. See, God is the greatest giver, and he loves us so much and will supply all our needs out of his glorious riches. Whether large or small, God is concerned about our needs. He's never too busy to be concerned about what concerns you. Whatever needs you may have, there is already provision ready and waiting for you. Just let me illustrate it. The well-known American preacher and sociologist Tony Campola was at a ladies' meeting. There were 300 women present. Before he spoke, the president of this meeting read a letter from a missionary. It was very moving and challenging. In the letter, the missionary expressed the need for $4,000 to take care of an emergency that had cropped up. So the president of the meeting said, "We need to pray to God that God will provide the resources to meet the need of this missionary. Mr. Campola, would you please pray for us?" Tony Campola said, "No." She said, "I beg your pardon?" He said, "I won't pray for that. I believe that God has already provided the resources and that all we need is to give it. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to step up to this table and to give all the money I have on me. And if you do the same, I think God has already provided the resources." The president said, "I think you are trying to teach us about sacrificial giving." He said, "No, that's not what I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to teach you that God has already provided for this missionary. All you need to do is to give. Here, I'm going to give you all the money I have in my wallet," which was $15. Then he looked at the president and she reluctantly gave $40 and put it on the table. One by one, the rest of the ladies filed out and put the money on the table too. And when the money was counted, they had collected more than $4,000. Tony Campolo said this, "Now here is the lesson. God always supplies our needs. He supplied for this missionary too. The only problem was we were keeping it for ourselves. Now let's pray and thank God for his provision." And I want you to notice as verse 19 goes on, it says, "According to his glorious riches." And the word "glorious" is a reference to God's authority and majesty. He is the king of abundant supply of riches. These riches are made available in Christ. The Philippians have already received the greatest riches in Christ, salvation and new life in Jesus. Paul says that God is not only able to meet the needs, but that he does so in such a way from his limitless wealth of all eternity. And God gives out of the capital of his grace in eternity. And God guarantees to supply all the needs of his children to those who faithfully give to the cause of Christ. God richly supplies in abundance. Notice the contrast in these verses. You met Paul's needs. I will bless you according to my riches. You supplied one of my servants' needs. I will supply all your needs. You supplied out of your poverty. I will dispense out of my riches in glory. You supply through the hand of Epaphroditus. I will supply by the hand of Christ. What is your need today? Will you put that need into the hands of a loving Father? Will you claim his promises and rest your whole weight on them? Will you trust him to meet your need? Will you show the world that source and supply are from the Heavenly Father, our gracious God? Remember, my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ.